playing against the best players in the world at the biggest stage, you know, that's the goal for every player. You know, so to be here and to play in front of this crowd for the first time in the playoffs is going to be exciting. But I still got to prepare the same way. I still got to go out there and execute the way I know how to play and help this team win.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are ready. With me, Graham, and with me as always, my boy and producer Scott.
Scott here.
Scott, let's get this out of the way. Quick apology for the terrible canned phone voice, you guys. I'm embarrassed. You don't have to worry. The equipment wasn't stolen, but I'm actually out on the road. I'm out in San Diego, and while I was smart enough to bring a microphone with me, I was not smart enough to bring a laptop. So we got to do it old school. Scotty, on a scale of 1 to I genuinely hate your face, how annoyed are you that I completely forgot a setup and we sound all amateur now?
It's off the charts. And not only did I don't even think you own a laptop. It's 2017. Laptops are going for like $200, and I don't even think you own one.
I don't know if I need your judgment on my laptop or my lifestyle, man. I mean, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I'll buy a laptop at my good time if it makes you feel any better. I'm in a car that is about 4,050 degrees, just sweating my balls off, trying to make it sound a little professional. So I'm paying my dues, man. It is what it is. Let's quickly move off. I'm sure these guys don't want to hear us bicker, at least if it's not about the Warriors. The Golden State has just finished off what feels like a real successful season. They're at 67-15. Looking back, Scotty, what do you think? How would you grade the year? Was it a success?
I think the regular season was a huge success and another one that I just enjoyed so thoroughly. And I mean, we've talked about it before, but to have the team that you're rooting for be not just a good team that is going to make the playoffs, but the number one team, the best record in the league, there is nothing more enjoyable to have that going on for months and months and months and months. And it's really something that we can easily take for granted. So just take the end of the regular season as another chance to reflect upon how amazing this is.
Well, and extend it. I mean, it's not just months and months and months and months. It's years and years and years, right? I mean, this is the third year it's happened. So much so. So, you know, gosh, I just said it kind of nonchalantly. The Warriors had 67 wins. They're the first seed in the West, or the overall seed in the playoffs. They are the championship favorite. There was a time where if you told me that, I would think that you were lying, that you are just completely insane. Now it happens, and it's not like we take it for granted, but we're not celebrating in the streets, rather, right? I mean, this is just something, another thing to kind of be happy about while we're waiting for their run to the championship. So yeah, Scotty is absolutely right. In 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, we're gonna be talking about how lucky we were to have this team pause before this next playoff run and really enjoy what the hell has been happening. And I love your newfound optimism, Scott. I like how you opened up really happy here. This is awesome.
Yeah, well, it was a great regular season. I think it's going to be a really fun playoffs. And you saw it in Curry's talk after the Lakers game this past, you know, the end of the regular season. He has a chance to address everyone. And what he talks about is the 2.5 months that are left to come. And it used to be this type of situation where he's saying, oh, we're going to get better. Like, we're going to really come together in the offseason and prove to you guys that we can go deep in the playoffs next year. And now it's all about what's going to happen in the quest to get the championship.
So to set up what you're talking about, that last win in, not in LA, at home was that not only the final home game, obviously, but the final game of the season. So they gave Steph the mic. And he thanked everybody and said, all right, let's get ready for this 2.5 month journey we're about to go on. Obviously, doing more than insinuating, they're going to make the finals. And I thought of you. So is that jinxing? Is that just confidence laden? You know, were you worried at all when you heard that, or you liked it?
I liked it. I don't think that was a jinx. I think that he kept it vague enough to not kind of veer into jinx territory. So I thought
he didn't say June or something. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other journeys that are going to happen in his life in the next 2.5 months, and I'm going to be going on my own journeys. So, no, I think he stayed far away from it, but I think that he is definitely right that the Warriors are in good shape to make it to June.
No, hell yes. And I don't, you know, as well as he used the word journey, I also don't think that he jinxed it at all. And before we get too far away from it, the most important thing for the regular season was prepping for this exact moment, right? Using the 82 games to sharpen the point of their spear so that they can go on a run to the finals. And Steve Kerr was asked how he felt the team was doing right after the Lakers game. And he said nothing but positive things about their preparation for the playoffs. Here's Kerr on that.
Oh, I think we're in great shape. You know, other than Matt Barnes' injury, I think getting KD back, I think Steph and Clay have been in a good groove, you know, the last month, 6 weeks, whatever it is. You know, I think we're healthy. We've had great contributions off the bench. And so I really like the position we're in going into the playoffs. These last few games have been ragged, but that's kind of to be expected. Once we had the one seed, the attention wanes a little bit, and the intensity of the games wane. And when that happens, the overall play suffers. And so the last few games have been spotty, but I'm not worried about that.
Okay. I'm anxious to talk playoffs, but I don't want to just turn our back on an amazing year. As far as moments that stick out in your mind, and I'll go first, and it's an easy one, which is why I'm going first. I want to steal it from you, the 60 spot from Clay. Anytime somebody gets as hot as he was in that game, it's going to stick out in your mind. Anytime somebody scores 60 points, it's going to stick out in your mind. But the idea that he did it through three quarters, it just adds another chapter to kind of the legend of Clay, and was a pretty damn bright spot for this year. What stuck out for you, man?
Well, I love that moment for sure. And the fact that it was at home, I think, just made the whole thing more enjoyable and more just like an absolute party as opposed to just a, you know, 60 spot on the other team's floor could have got a little ugly.
Yeah, it still would have been a joke. I feel like I stole your thing. I like that you're piling on. Did I steal your answer or what?
No, I was actually going to say, what about that 40 points in the first half against Indiana that Clay had? That was also, I thought, a really impressive,
true,
enjoyable moment. But I think my bigger point is, or I guess the moment that I really look back on this season and say that was extremely enjoyable was the win against San Antonio to clinch the number one seed and the comeback win.
I swear to God, if you had said when they sat everybody against San Antonio, I would have somehow strangled you through this phone. You're right. That was a huge moment. And you know, I'll add another one. It's a random one. And it's one that just happened. We're going to go back three games now to the Pelicans game where Kevin Durant was making his comeback. And it was the first play of the game. Durant goes baseline and has a reverse dunk. And what it, you know, we enter that game and we all want to see Durant play. We want to see how he mixes back in with the offense. We want to hope that he's healthy. But more than anything, we want to see whether or not Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. Because we had the experience with Steph in the finals, and we're not sure if he's going to get all the way back to 100%. And you're not sure if you're going to see that in the first game or in the first quarter, or maybe you won't even see it before the playoffs. We saw it in the first play. He gets the ball, he immediately beats the man, and then he reverse dunks on his ass. And he still has a little bit of rust that's going away. We saw that against Los Angeles. But that he would take all of our fears and dunk them through the basket on that first play was so great. And if they do go on to win a championship, that's going to be one of the shining moments that sticks out to me.
Yeah, it's a real moment of just confidence that, okay, things are going to be all right. He trusts his body. And the team, I think, made the right call in the fact that they trusted the trainers, they listened to KD, and didn't bring him back too early. So I think it also showed that the Warriors know what they're doing as far as players' health is concerned.
We spent, I don't know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it was, when Steph came back during last year's playoff run, you know, trying to trick ourselves. Is that Steph? That looks like, I think that's Steph. That looks just like, well, maybe we knew right from the first play, well, that's KD. You know, we're all good. So we got to skip that in particular nastiness. In fact, here, let me ask you this, man. Let's use some hindsight, and we'll go to a segment I really love, even if I hate the name. Would you rather? Give us a couple of possibilities. We pick which one we would prefer, and we did this at the beginning of the year. So let's use 2020 hindsight now. At the end of the year, the Warriors are now down 1 point, 5 seconds left. They've got the ball. Who do you give it to? Would you rather give it to KD or Steph Curry?
I'm giving it to KD. I think that he is the type of guy who always gets a look because he's so damn lanky and is such a good scorer that I just feel like you're going to get a better look, whereas I'm not as confident that Steph will get as open a look. I'm not saying that I think Steph's a better shooter, and if I had to say who's going to hit just a wide open shot, I'd pick Steph. But you need to get the wide open shot in order to be able to have that scenario happen, and I think KD is going to get a more wide open shot.
And I feel you. And it's the kind of thing we were worried about it in last year's finals, where things got stagnant and we didn't have somebody we could just give the ball to, right? And it's my question, and so it's kind of unfair that I say, hey, I need more details. So, you know, we would need, like, circumstance and all that. But I keep using this line. Bad things happen for good reasons under Lakeham. And the most recent bad thing that happened with the Warriors was KD's injury. The good thing that may have come out from that is it really reinforced, one, who the hell Steph Curry is, two, the hierarchy of offense within the team. And so right now, coming off these last few weeks where Steph not only found his shot but found his swagger, I go to Steph, and I really hope that we can kind of continue that going forward. You know, obviously it's option 1A and 1B, but it's still I think we may have finally established a little bit of separation. Here, let me give you another one. We asked this one right at the beginning of last year. And if memory serves, you said you would take the championship. But let me ask you again. If you could somehow go back in time, right? We're right before Game 7 of last year's finals. And you could make it so that the Warriors win the title, but they do not get Kevin Durant. Which would you prefer? And they end up where they are right now with Durant with no title, or they have a title, but we're entering in, you know, these playoffs with no Durant.
I'm going to say take the championship because you never know what's going to happen. Who knows what's going to happen in this next...
Still.
Who knows what is going to happen in this next 2.5 months? They may not get the championship. You always... If you have a chance at the championship, you got to take it. And let's look at how the team did without KD when he got injured. They did pretty damn well.
They did great. Don't you? Yeah, they did great. Okay.
So maybe this team doesn't even need KD to win the championship. So you could have had last year's championship and been in great shape to win this year's championship.
I'll go the other direction. I think they are going to win a title this year. And so now we've already got the title in pocket. And then they're going to continue to get better. I honestly believe what we're looking at is the floor of a unbelievable run with KD in a Golden State Warriors uniform. And if they really do have a shot at 3, 4, 5 titles going forward, then I take that over last year's title. And it's possible we never see it. You know, who knows what ultimately comes to fruition. But like I've said before, I've always been I like the Friday before a weekend guy. You know, I like that everything's in front of us, and that's exactly where we are here. All right, I am flush with your money. I don't know if you remember, but we made a couple bets at the end of the season, and I'm plus 40, I think, because the Warriors ended up with the 1 seed and are above 500. If you're down, I want to make a couple of more bets on some of the end of season awards here. Why don't we start with Coach of the Year? What's your guess? And we'll see who your guess is, and then we'll decide whether or not we want to bet.
I'm gonna go with Brad Stevens from the Celtics.
Yeah, not Scotty Brooks. I thought for sure we'd have a little punk-ass Wizards love here.
Well, no, after he blew getting the 3rd seed, I'm definitely a little down on him.
Yeah, that a boy. Are you pressing the panic button on him or no?
Oh, Wizards are they're going out in the first round. That's Washington sports. they hate – Washington sports teams hate winning.
Well, strangely enough, the only time I like talking to you about Washington sports is when you're shithousing them, but I won't drag us down the rabbit hole. Instead, I'll let you know that you're wrong. It'll be Mike D'Antoni. I'll bet you 10 beans on that.
He sounds good. I hope Damian is out there keeping track of these.
Our bean counter is definitely pulling them together. Let's say it's either, right? So for we can't say it's either. Would you trade Steve Kerr for either of those coaches? If you could somehow wave a magic wand, you could trade him for Mike D'Antoni or Brad Stevens. Would you do it?
No. Are you crazy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And why? Explain that for me. Why am I crazy?
I think Steve Kerr, just look at the track record. It's amazing. The guy is breaking all types of coaching records. And yeah, sure, he got a great team but he has taken them to levels beyond what any other coach was able to do.
And his ability to read his team's psyche, right? To like know when it's right about to break and then save them for those kind of embarrassments. I mean, you got to really enjoy that too.
Oh, he's a great, he's got the Phil Jackson Zen Master thing going on.
Not even a laugh or a chuckle on that. I thought that was kind of funny. Let's move to the next one.
I'm surprised you don't have some clip ready.
I have a few, but I know it pisses you off and you threw a temper tantrum last time, so we don't have to go down that either. Give me your sixth man. I'll go first. Andre Iguodala. Everybody thought it was going to be Eric Gordon because Gordon started the year on fire, but right when Gordon started cooling off a little bit from three-point land, Andre drank the gummy berry juice and has just been unbelievable for the Warriors recently, especially when Durant went down. So I think he gets rewarded for that, and I think Andre gets our sixth man of the year. Do you agree with us, Don?
I don't pay attention to other teams' sixth man, so I don't really have any comments on that.
No, I mean, are you picking Andre then, or you're just refusing to even have a conversation about it?
I'm going to refuse.
That's good. That's great, man. Well, thank God this isn't like a radio show that people are listening. Otherwise, that would really annoy people out there. That leaves Defensive Player of the Year. I've been saying the same guy all year. I won't go through my lecture again. I certainly haven't changed at all. His mom is a friend of the podcast. Draymond Green's my pick. You finally seen the light or what?
I'm still sticking with Leonard in San Antonio. I just think that more people on the East Coast see Leonard play, and I don't think many sports writers like Draymond. I don't think they like him. I think his personality is going to ultimately do him in on this one.
Well, this couldn't have worked out better for me. I did not have a quote ready for you on the last one, but I do on this one. Here's an article from Zach Lowe, he of ESPN, and one of probably the most popular writers out there, certainly a basketball writer and certainly people on the East Coast read, quote, Green is matchup proof. He can be anywhere, anytime. He contested 7 shots at the rim per game, as many as DeAndre Jordan, Anthony Davis, and Andre Drummond. Opponents hit just 43.8% of those shots, barely above Gobert's equivalent figure. To guard the loot like that and switch on to Harden? Come on. Green is unmovable in the post. He gets his giant mitts on anything. He trails only John Wall in steals, and he's about to become the 10th player ever to average 2 swipes and 1.4 blocks per game. He is the smartest defender I've ever seen since the peak 1990s Chicago team. I'm going to pause because he really just waxes poetic about him for like 3 pages. He ends it with this, quote, Green is the one irreplaceable part in the NBA's best defense. The main reason Golden State stiffened on that end during Kevin Durant's absence. Gobert would be a deserving winner, but Green's versatility gives him the edge here. Looks like he's got some national love, Scotty. I may have been right on this one, man. What do you think?
I think that I believe Leonard will win it. I'm not saying that Leonard deserves to win it. I'm with you. I think Draymond should win it. I'm with Zach Lowe. I think Draymond should win it. And I'm just don't think that that's going to happen, unfortunately. But I do think the fact that the Warriors have the number one defense in the league, which I think we have to pause on that and reflect on that for a moment, because everyone was saying at the beginning of the year, oh, they're going to suffer so much on defense. What are they going to do without Bogut? Oh, it's going to be so terrible. And what did they do? They have the number one defensive efficiency in the league.
It turns out, the same way we have said in the past, the Spurs are really dangerous because their best player's age doesn't matter, and Greg Popovich. The Warriors' defense doesn't, you know, if they lose a single component, it doesn't take a giant step back because the health of their most important player doesn't matter. It's Ron Adams. When Kevin Durant went out and everyone said, oh my God, they're screwed. They're going to have no front court defense and there's no way they can protect the limb. They still led the league in blocks per game because they find out a way. Don't you try to squirrel away from a possible bet here. I guarantee you Draymond wins it. I'll put 20 beans on this over Leonard.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I will.
You were going to, I mean, don't you like start running out of money or something, man. When I come for the money, I definitely am going to want to see it. If you could trade right now.
Well, can you use it to buy a laptop maybe?
I might. What, they only go for $60? We may have to start getting a little bit higher. And I'd still forget it in my garage and have it be stolen. But if you could, Matt, you know, wave your magic wand, would you trade Draymond Green for Kawhi Leonard?
No, I would not. Even though I think Leonard would be a pretty good fit on the Warriors, actually. But nothing like Draymond is.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where if I was picking a fantasy team, right, and I could pick anyone in the league, would I pick Kawhi before I pick Draymond? Maybe. You know, I would certainly consider that. If I'm picking someone to be this team's anchor, I mean, I'll give you a stupid example. There are Warrior fans everywhere now, man, inclusive of San Diego. I was down here and grabbing a drink at the bar. I was wearing a Warrior hat. And the guy is from San Diego, but is this huge Warrior fan, shockingly enough, and started talking about Draymond Green. And what he wanted to talk about is, you know, Draymond's attitude, how it can occasionally hold him back. And I thought the exact opposite. And what I explained was that the biggest thing I think that Draymond has added to this team is a change in attitude. You know, he came here when we were still doormats, and he taught the entire roster to not back down, to be willing to fight for anything. That fire, that attitude, in addition to his skill, is exactly what this team needs. So, no, I wouldn't make that trade either. I think there's very few people in the league I would trade Draymond for.
Yeah, I mean, but I do think, I don't know, that Leonard one is more of a conversation than trading Steve Kerr for Mike D'Antoni.
Yes, D'Antoni finally, you know, the league finally caught up to what D'Antoni has been trying to do since the Phoenix days. But we don't have to talk about filthy Houston, at least for another couple of rounds here. Let's use that, though, as an excuse to talk playoffs. I got a bunch of questions about the Portland series, but let's get a little bit more general. There seems to be kind of two types of fans out there. There are people who want this trip through the Western Conference to be, not just the Western Conference, this trip to the playoffs to be kind of a redemption path, right? They beat a fully healthy Portland team, and they move on, and they beat a fully healthy Clippers team, and they move on, and they beat a fully healthy San Antonio team, and then they beat Cleveland in the playoffs, or in the finals, rather. I don't care. If they beat four WNBA teams on their way to a title, I would be just as happy. I just want the ring. I don't need them to beat somebody specific. How about you, man? Where do you fall in this? What kind of path are you open for it?
Well, before I jump in, so are you saying even Cleveland, you don't even care about it beating Cleveland in the finals?
You know, a portion of me almost wants to see Cleveland lose before they get there. Like, watch Boston surprise them or Toronto surprise them. We know what kind of neurotic bastard I am and what kind of sickness I bring when I'm talking about longtime rivals. So would it be particularly satisfying for them to beat Cleveland? Yes. But if they win a ring and it's not against Cleveland, I won't spend a second thinking back on it. You know, I won't be like, oh, well, this is kind of a wasted year and we need to see them next year. No, it's not like that. I don't care if they don't beat them. I really just want a ring.
Yeah, in the short term, it probably would be more fun to beat Cleveland and it may be a more enjoyable thing in that moment. But long term, it really doesn't matter. It's, you know, like I look back at old birthday parties that I've had and people who didn't come to the birthday party. In the short term, I was super pissed off about it. But in the long term, I just look back and realize that I had a fun birthday party.
When you say short term, you mean like the first like 25 years? I don't see you getting over that at all. Was that a lie? Are you still angry at least at like two or three people in your life for having not showed up at one of your parties?
So many people have not showed up at my parties that, you know, I would lose a lot of friends if I actually held those grudges.
Oh, man, that makes you feel sad. Let's move on immediately. Also, just a quick glimpse into my life currently. If I suddenly stop talking, it's because I finally passed out in this ridiculously hot car. You know, call San Diego authorities and tell them to look for a burger Hertz on the side of the road with a dead man in it. let's move on to the. Oh, I didn't let you answer. So, redemption series. What do you want? Do you care who they play? Not just Cleveland. I mean, do you want them to beat all these steps as we go forward here, or do you just want to see a parade in June?
The one thing that I would like to see is them beating San Antonio, because that hasn't happened. I think it would be a great series. And I do think that is one where I just want to kind of shut all the haters up and say, you know, they can take care of San Antonio in the playoffs.
I want you to know that I spent most of that thinking the next time Scott invites you to a party, definitely go. So I'll be there, man. I just want you to know whatever happens from here, I'll definitely be there. I'd like to avoid San Antonio, and I've said it ad nauseum. I'm kind of afraid of San Antonio. If we match up against them and I had to bet money, if I had to bet my life, I'd bet it on the Warriors. But I wouldn't mind having to slay that in particular beast. But that is a conversation we won't have to have until the Western Conference Finals. The team we have in front of us is Portland. So let's focus our sights on them. The Warriors went 4-0 against Portland. Generally speaking, beat the hell out of them. There's only one close game the last time they played. Beyond that, they beat them by an average margin of over 12 points. ESPN says the Warriors have a 99% chance of winning. The line in Vegas, if you wanted to bet money on the series, is Warriors minus 7,000, which means if you wanted to win $100, you'd have to bet 7,000. So the Warriors
wow.
are remarkably heavy favorites. But I'll tell you one person who disagrees, it's Damian Lillard. Here's Damian Lillard on how many games it'll take Portland to beat the Warriors.
Blazers in 6 or 7. Blazers in 6. Blazers in 6. That confident. All right. Well, best of luck this coming weekend as the series begins.
I should clarify, since you guys can't see it, Lillard was kind of laughing when he said in 6. And he since came out and said he was having a little bit of fun. What the hell else was he supposed to say? We're going to get into details, but spoil the ending for us, Scotty. What do you think? Who wins the series and in how many games?
Well, I don't think it'll be Blazers in 6. And another funny thing about that quote is it got posted on, I don't know if it was the Blazers Instagram or Lillard's Instagram, but Russell Westbrook liked it, which I thought was that a little shot across the bow from Russ.
I love that Westbrook has gotten to a portion where he just doesn't care. He knows everyone's going to see that, but he's tired of having people dissect his movement. So he just makes them and lets the chip fall where they may.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say Warriors in 5, and let me tell you why. I was up in Portland this past weekend, and I went to the Portland-Utah Jazz game. A couple things I observed.
Hey.
Number one, I saw Damian Lillard drop 59, the most points scored in the Moda Center. And when that dude gets going, he's pretty unstoppable. He was pull-up threes, drives to the basket. I mean, it was a really impressive performance. So that's one piece of it. And the second piece, it was actually a pretty tough place to play. The crowd got really into it. It was noisy. It was loud. And I could see it being a tough place to get a victory on the road in the playoffs. So I think the Blazers probably get one at home. So I think Warriors in 5.
Tell me you were wearing a Warriors huddle shirt when you went to that game.
Nope.
Oh, wow. And he waited how long before he said, I feel like booing you lustily. That is awful. Did you at least wear Warrior gear or just kind of nondescript nothing? You were just there to watch the game.
Yeah, I was there just to watch the game. I was kind of in the friends and family section, so I didn't want to rep other teams too hard.
I like how you casually dropped that you went to the game. I like how you also casually dropped that you're in the family and friends section, suggesting that somebody gave you tickets to that game. I'll let you reveal it if you want, man. If not, we'll keep it off to the side, although I am a little pissy that you didn't wear any huddle gear. I won't give you a long explanation about why I think the Blazers will win one game. I do think they'll win one. I think Warriors in 5. I also think it's the perfect opening series for the Warriors. The travel's super light. You can get down to Portland in about an hour, hour 15.
It's actually up. It's Portland's north.
Don't be that guy. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes when you start like punking people about what the proper words are for geographic terms.
I'm just trying to save your rep.
No, I don't have a rep for using the right term when I'm talking about up or down. So let that rep go ahead and die. When I buy a laptop, I'll look up the proper terms. Until then, I'll just throw out, I'm going to say down again. It is only an hour down to Portland, remarkably easy travel. The Warriors are way better talent-wise, but Portland's good enough and feisty enough where they'll keep the Warriors engaged. You know, it won't be just some sleepwalking. So I think the most important thing for the Warriors is to get meaningful minutes during the playoffs with both Durant and Curry. Portland will give them enough of a challenge where they'll get exactly that. But they won't ever actually have to be worried about the season. I mean, so let's break it down a little bit more analytically. As far as talent and coaching, there's no question, right? I mean, the Warriors have the check mark on both of those.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. No question.
Yeah. And then the storylines going in, I already said kind of what I think about for the Warriors. They just need to get Durant kind of worked in and see how the offensive continuity is going to work now that they have a full-blow Durant. On the Portland side, it's kind of this dude, Yusuf Nurkić. And I practiced that name. I have no idea how to say it.
I'm so glad that you said it before I had to say it, just so I could kind of get a sense of how you were going to pronounce it, because I'm just as lost as you are.
Yeah, wow. Well, you're trying to save my reputation for up or down geographic terms, but you say nothing when you know I never do well with the proper nouns in the NBA game. Either way, Nurkić is a guy who was traded out of Denver to Portland. We saw him when he was in Denver. He's a big bruiser, good guy, never really fit in there. Went over to Portland and just started murdering it. Caught fire, has been playing remarkably well, but got hurt at the end of the year, and it's been kind of mysterious. It sounds like he'll probably be back for game one. We don't know for sure. So the storyline, I think, on the Blazers' standpoint is going to be whether or not Yusuf comes back on the court and whether or not he's effective. And then the thing I think that no one will really talk about, at least in the Bay, but seems to be a pretty big deal in Portland, is Festus Ezeli. You know, our friend of the podcast, Festus, ended up in Portland. And he's being really vilified up there because he went and hasn't played a game. He's been hurt the entire time. It might be that he has more friends on this team than he does on that one. So, you know, another storyline. Festus is coming back home.
Yeah, that'll be – I mean, I really wish that he was able to play and, you know, hope that he does return. And, I mean, I don't know how you're going to vilify a guy when he gets injured. And, I mean, he needed surgery. You know, it's not like he's just – has the flu and is refusing to play, or has a headache like Scottie Pippen had back in the day and bailed on the team. It's like, you know, this is a legitimate injury.
Don't blame me. I'm not angry at him, man. I mean, I hear you. You're right.
No, and I was watching Nurkić on the sidelines. He was in a
nice
suit.
Nice pronunciation.
Thank you. He looked fine to me. I don't know. He was having a great time. He was kind of jumping up and down when Damon Lillard was knocking down three-pointers after three-pointers. So I would expect him to be back.
It's the way that they've been talking about it. It seems like he will be. And the Warriors have problems with big bruisers. Not, I don't think he's going to occupy any kind of real major hole for us. But it'll be interesting to see what the hell he does. All right. Give me this one. Two people most likely to fight during this series. Who's your guess?
I'm going to say Myers-Leonard and JaVale McGee.
Myers-Leonard is Mr. Stolen Valor. There's no way that dude's throwing any punches. I'm going Zaza and Nurkić. Zaza hasn't had a chance to show us really what he's about, and a first-round playoff fight would just be right up that alley. I'm not saying, like, multiple blows, but at least some heavy shoving, I think. How about highest-scoring player? Who walks away with that?
I think it'll be Durant. I think he's going to have a monster game at some point. And I think he may have multiple monster games. Now, this is the time of year where I think Durant is really going to start to come into his own. And it was great to see against the Lakers that his three-point shot came back. I think he was 5 or 7, and that had been something that was pretty broken in the two previous games.
I say you're wrong on this. I'm going Damian Lillard. I already said the Warriors are going to win a 5. And I think they will run away with a couple of them. But I think that Lillard is going to take this very seriously. I think he's going to take it very personally. He's coming back home. And I think that McCollum will give him the ball more so, hopefully, than Steph will give Durant. And I already talked us through why I think Durant's injury could be good. I won't do it again. But I'm hoping that Steph continues to be the head of the snake so that Durant doesn't have the ball in his hands quite enough. But we'll find out. How about this one, Mike? One of my favorite playoff questions for the huddle. Most hateable player on the opposing team. I'll take this one first, if you don't mind. I'll go CJ McCollum. A couple of reasons. I hate his mustache. I've always hated his mustache. But two, he's good, and he always plays really well against the Warriors. And he's one of those guys who goes from really likable to super cocky when he's playing well. And it just brings out that neurosis of me and hating them and having to watch that over 5 games. It'll boil over. So I'm going Mr. McCollum as Senor Hateable on my side. What do you think?
That's a good point, but I don't know. He's pretty innocuous, I think. I'm going to go either Mo Harkless or Alan Crabb. I don't, whichever one starts to have an unusually good game when they shouldn't be, that just drives me insane. They're going to start knocking down all types of three-pointers. And then talk about two guys who I think get really cocky when they're playing well. Like those two, it's just, it's over the top. So that will start to really piss me off.
Does Crabb still have that hair? If he still has that hair, then you may actually be right on that. As far as key for the Warriors to win the series, there's not really a whole lot we have to worry about here. I think they just need to calm. Don't let the moment get too big, which is an impossible situation for them because they've already been to the finals twice in a row. So really, don't get hurt. Allow the game to come to them, and I think they walk away with this series pretty easily.
I think that's spot on. I don't think that there's much in question as far as ways that they could screw this up. I think in a seven-game series, it's just hard for me to imagine that they blow this one, barring any type of injuries.
But I'll tell you, I stole most of my take, like I do for a lot of my stuff. But this one was more blatant than normal. I hopped on the back of somebody who knows a lot more about this team than I do, Kevin Durant. Here's Durant talking about what he thinks the Warriors need to win the series.
Knowing you got Portland now, you got a little bit of time to take off before you guys get back at it on Sunday. But what do you know about the Blazers? And what you saw them a few times this year, but what do you expect coming into the postseason?
Well, they're a different team. You know, they're ready for us. You know, they're feeling confident. They came into second half of the season behind in the standings a bit, and they you know, came through in a clutch. You know, Damian Lillard playing great basketball. He just had 60 points the other night. McCollum, you know what he can do. You know, Nurkic, they got their big of the future, I think. So, you know, they got Allen Crabbe. They got, you know, a lot of versatile players that we're going to be worried about. But, you know, we also know what we do and what we have to do to go out there and win. We got to execute, play our brand of basketball, and, you know, focus on that. But also know we got a tough task ahead of us and guarding those guys. So, you know, should be exciting, should be fun. We're looking forward to it. Postseason is always fun. And, I know our crowd is going to be into it from the beginning. So, you know, I can't wait.
All right. I want to turn the mic specifically over to you. A new segment for each playoff series, one I'm kind of excited about. We're going to call it the PBS special, the Panic Button Scotty special. What is something that Warrior fans can worry about during this Portland series? What's out there that you know, that's kind of concerning you?
I love this segment, and it is
shocking.
I think what you do need to worry about is, I know the Warriors, they had three games with Durant back, but not all the players played in all those games. So you saw the Lakers game was finally the chance for the full squad to be together, and they played great. But that was one game, and it was against the Lakers in a meaningless game. So let's see what happens when the pressure is on, and it's yet to be determined if this team knows what to do with Durant back in.
One of my favorite movies is The Princess Bride, and one of my favorite scenes in The Princess Bride is that thing with Inigo Montoya, and he's doing a sword fight, and after 10 minutes, he's getting his ass kicked, and the guy asks him why he's smiling, and he goes, "Oh, I know something you don't know. I'm not left-handed." And he goes to his right hand and is way better. I feel like that's what we just did with you. You know, you had like all these good takes about how the Warriors are doing so well and the season's really positive. And then we give you a PBS special. And it's like, you're way more confident. You feel a hell of better about it, man. Way to embrace your neurosis, Scott. You know, I support it. I won't even try to talk you out of it. Instead, I'll give you a random prediction. I think Draymond gets through this entire series without a technical foul. And I'd even be willing to bet $10 on that. What do you think?
Wow. Oh my, do you know something that I don't know?
I've been to the future, my friend. This is future Bram you're talking about, and I are talking to, and I feel good about it. Look, I'm trying to give you $10. What do you think? Is it a bet? 10 beans, my apologies.
I'll take it, but what makes you think that? I'm just curious.
I think that we're looking at a series of new beginnings. I think that Kevin Durant is viewing this as the real start to his initiation onto this team. I think that Draymond is going to look at this as a way to show the world that last year's finals was an aberration, that he can be trusted, and the easiest place to start in that is the playoffs, right? New beginning. So we'll see. I mean, God, man, I'm wrong, generally speaking, once a sentence, so I could be wrong on this one, but I feel pretty confident about it. Oh, anything we leave out? Any loose ends on this Portland series before I give you one last question?
I think the records speak for themselves. 67-15 compared to 41-41. The Blazers barely made the playoffs. So that, to me, is basically shows you all you need to know. Just look at the records.
Right. And as much as I love the one-and-done format of March Madness, the NBA's use of the best of seven, the best team's going to win. The Warriors are the best team. I'm not worried about this.
One more thing that I would add is I really like the Warriors' kind of hot streak that they have going into the playoffs, and I think it's a much different feel right now than it was compared to how it was last year entering the playoffs when they worked so hard to get to 73, and you could feel the exhaustion just in every single player. And I think they conserved themselves in a really good way and kind of ramped it up in a way where they're actually hitting the playoffs in stride as opposed to limping into the playoffs. Like I think you're seeing Cleveland right now.
They had one goal. Last year they had two. Last year's goal was to win the most regular season wins of anybody ever. They did it. And then they had a secondary goal of winning the finals. They couldn't. Those two goals ended up conflicting with one another. This year they have one goal. One, win a championship. Now they had to get some mini sub goals to give themselves the best chance at that, get the best seed, get home court advantage. But really this whole year, just like we heard from Kerr earlier in this show, was to get us to the point to have a shot at a title, and the Warriors have exactly that. In fact, they are the favorites. The schedule for the first four games, because I wasn't smart enough to look up beyond that, Sunday at 12, which, by the way, they asked Kerr about. Everybody thought they were going to start on Saturday. I'm a little pissy that they aren't. But they asked Kerr about it. He much prefers it. He says they get more rest. He likes the Sunday afternoon game. So anyone who is like me and kind of pissy they weren't playing on Saturday, be happy because Kerr is. Game two is on Wednesday at 7:30, then Saturday at 7:30, then Monday at 7:30. I love this time of year. I hate how long we have to wait between the games.
That's a huge gap in between the first couple of games.
It's insane. But they'll get to rest, and they'll have a whole bunch of practices. So there's upsides to it outside of me just being like a heroin fiend wanting more heroin. I don't want to wait that long. Last question, because I had a random-ass fight about this in a bar, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Another would you rather, but a random one. All right, so I want you to assume that your family is stuck in some kind of apocalypse. Up to you, zombie apocalypse, apocalypse after a major like earthquake or some kind of disaster, but the type of situation where people are turning on one another. It's just awful in the streets, right? Your family has to get from point A to point B in this city, and you have to pick one of these three to get you through it. Greg Popovich, Michael Jordan, or Steph Curry. Who would you pick?
Boy, that's tough. It's tough in one regard. It's not tough in another, which is I'm putting Steph Curry out of that equation. And for me, it's all coming down to Popovich and Jordan. Those two are way more savage than Steph Curry. I don't even know why he's in that conversation.
Well, you have to take this many shots. Okay, you could just pick the winner. You don't have to take shots at the guy you don't like. All right, who do you pick?
I'm going to pick Popovich. Number one, he kind of could look like a zombie in like seconds.
Zombie look-alike, gotcha.
No, so that may be beneficial if you can kind of sneak behind him and all the zombies think he's a zombie, so you can get from point A to point B.
The 2 points you have is F Steph, and two, I pick Popovich because he looks like a zombie. I had no idea what your response was going to be, but I love it. I'll start with who I won't pick. I'm not picking Jordan. Jordan's a winner, but he's also like a type of dude who'd save himself. So if it's like zombie apocalypse, I could see Jordan being the kind of guy to shoot you in the leg so they ate you and he gets away. So like you may wake up and Jordan is just gone that next morning. So I'm not picking him. Unfortunately, we got to agree. I'm going Popovich, but shockingly, it's not because he looks like a zombie. His brilliance. Popovich is the kind of dude who would end up like running a city in the apocalypse. Like people would kind of, get around him and want to build some kind of kingdom around his intelligence. So I am also going Popovich, and I'll do it without taking shots at Steph Curry. How do you like that?
I don't like the part where you don't explain why you wouldn't pick Steph.
Steph would kill himself to help your family. I like that. And he's the loyalest dude ever, right? And he seems reasonably intelligent. I mean, he's like a smart dude, although we don't really get to see that part of him. But if it's coming down to just sheer brawn versus brain in this situation, and I've had an opportunity to evaluate Pop's brain over the years as a coach, that's why I'm going in that direction.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, Pop's got the experience too, which I think for me was also a determining factor, but you didn't really let me get past any reasons besides he looks like a zombie. So.
Well, that reason was so awesome. I didn't want to get anything else out there. All right, you guys, huge fun, true every week, certainly true this week. Please remember, you want to reach out to us. In fact, I should have said, did not join us this week. Obviously, we're going to get him back, hopefully with an answer to our first Your Voice question next week. If you have questions for any Warriors, players, coaches, GMs, anything that you'd like to have asked by our guy out on the street, let us know and send them to warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is at Warriors Huddle. We're on a bunch of websites. Also, we're on a ton of podcasting services, the most significant, at least for this request, of which is iTunes. And I say that because if you've listened to this show for more than a few episodes, if you like it at all, if you wouldn't mind, go on to iTunes, give us a 5-star. I know it's a pain in the butt. I know it's not something you would normally do, but it means the world to us, and we'd really appreciate it. With that in mind, go Warriors, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Good, good.